And we are with us Don Calvert from Team Lorain County. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I appreciate you coming in this morning. We'd hoped to get the interview for the Great Big Home and Garden Show, but maybe they're lost somewhere within the IX Center. We'll try to reconnect on that because that doesn't happen until February 5th. So we have some time to get that all corrected and put in place. But Don, you have something coming up on Groundhog Day. Is this sort of a tradition with the Team Lorain County for this kind of an event? Tell me about this. Yeah.
Yes, it is. So this is our 10th annual Groundhog Day event. It is a free networking and breakfast meeting. And then we also have a keynote speaker coming in this year that we're very excited about. So we want to bring in the community, open it up, give a little overview of what we're seeing from an economic viewpoint locally for the next year coming up, and then also an overview of our activities over the previous year and what you can expect from Team Lorain County in 2016.
When you look back at 2015, what do you hang your hat on?
We hang our hat on, we developed a new program, a business retention and expansion outreach calling program, which we are so excited about. We really put a lot of thought and effort into how we could make the biggest impact to help local companies meet their needs for growth and plan for expansions. And we visited 50 companies over the second half of the year, and we found tremendous opportunity, tremendous growth happening right here in Lorain County with many companies.
Can you give us an example, a success story?
Sure. Well, we had, as many people are aware, this year we had Bendix that was potentially looking at new locations outside of the area, and they have decided to stay within Lorain County, so we're very excited about that. There will be 500 good-paying jobs that are going to stay here in Lorain County, which is a huge impact for us, the community. Those workers that are there will, you know, obviously stay in Lorain County, and we'll reap the benefits of that. So we're excited about that they chose to stay in Lorain County. We also see a lot of the retail booming in Avon, which is a huge boon for the county. We're excited about that. But then we have multiple small manufacturing firms, warehousing, logistics. Almost every company that we talk to is really in growth mode. They have a lot of growth plans, ideas. We know out of those 50 companies that we talk to, there are 200 positions open right now, and plans for an additional 250 jobs at least to open up, and then over the course of the next year, if their expansion plans go correctly.
Is it a case where they can't find the kind of worker they need, or what?
Yeah, absolutely. This is a challenge that's not unique to Lorain County or even Ohio. There is really a workforce shortage. It's critical. We've talked about it in manufacturing a lot at the county level. But there is tremendous need for a skilled workforce, a semi-skilled workforce, the soft skills that are needed to be successful on the job. And it is in every industry, every company size, everybody is challenged to find talent.
We're talking this morning with Don Calvert with Team Lorain County. They have their Groundhog Day Economic Forecast coming up, an event at Lorain County Community College. And you have a featured speaker, the senior futurist at the Da Vinci Institute and Google's top futurist, Thomas Fry, and I'm going to get him on the line here, Craig, so we're going to take a break for a moment. I got to dial about 28 numbers to get he's in the future somewhere, so we're going to find out about that.
Road to the White House. Campaigning in Tulsa for Donald Trump, Sarah Palin talked about Monday's arrest of her grown son on domestic violence and weapons charges. Palin hinted son Track suffers from post-traumatic stress disorder after a year in Iraq.
My son, like so many others, they come back a bit different. They come back hardened.
Palin then went on to say Trump will treat veterans better than illegal immigrants.
Our vets deserve a commander-in-chief who will let them do their job and go kick ISIS ass.
On the stump in Burlington, Iowa, Hillary Clinton touted her proposal to crack down on wealthy tax evaders.
The only way we can end that is to impose a surcharge of 4% on every form of their income so they can't hide it, they can't put it in a tax shelter.
Mrs. Clinton says she's offering specific ways for fine-tuning the Affordable Care Act, getting costs down, helping individuals with out-of-pocket costs, and capping prescription drug costs. Richard Cantu, ABC News.
It is 8:53 at WEOL, and joining us on the line this morning is the senior futurist at the Da Vinci Institute. He's also Google's top futurist. He'll be a featured speaker at the Team Lorain County event coming up on Groundhog Day, and it's Thomas Fry. Good morning, Tom.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
So give a little insight into kind of what a futurist does. Where do you get your information? How do you kind of come up with the concepts that you speak about?
Well, being a futurist, my job is to help expand people's thinking about what the future holds. And there's really no shortcuts to this. I mean, you need to be very diligent. You need to do lots of research and studying. If I don't study at least a couple hours a day doing research, I start falling way behind.
So it's being ahead of the curve in a sense, giving people a thing of where things are going. And is that the future that will be, or the possible future? I mean, how definite is something like this?
Everything I talk about, there's a certain degree of probability that's associated with it. And I paint pictures in a way that help people draw their own conclusions. But as William Gibson said, the future is already here. It's just not evenly distributed. And so there's lots of projects that are clearing the way. We can see this path that a lot of these are going to take. Some of them are just going to take longer than others. One of the interesting trends is, though, that when something, when you transition from a physical product to a digital product, the changes start happening exponentially faster. And so that's, we go from, a physical car to a smart car. We go from a physical telephone to a smartphone. We go from a physical house to a smart house. The changes start happening so much faster. So as an example, if you own a Tesla car, every month the Tesla owners get a new download for their car. So part of the sales pitch for Tesla is that after a year, your car will be a substantially better car than when you first bought it. So these changes are getting incorporated into this much faster when we get into the digital world.
Tom, we've heard a lot about self-driving cars. Do you see that happening?
Oh, absolutely. We have kind of this interim step where we have companies like Uber and Lyft that are making it much easier to get around. And as an example, my wife and I have dropped down to just one car, and we're using Uber for everything else. And so this is kind of an interim step. But, we have a car in our garage just in case we need to go somewhere. If I can step out in front of my house and pull out my smartphone and punch in, I want to go to work, I want to go to school, I want to go shopping, and a car comes and picks me up and takes me to where I want to go, and then from there it takes somebody else to where they want to go. We transition from this just-in-case mindset to a just-in-time mindset. I can summon a vehicle at any time that I need it. That's going to be substantially different. Now, it's going to be much easier to implement self-driving cars in the United States than some other countries, like over in Europe or India, where a bit more chaotic driving styles. So the intelligence behind the car is going to have to ramp up substantially for each of these different situations.
When you come to speak to a community like this with the team of Lorain County, how different do what you talk about than if you're talking to people who are heads of large corporations or people that are in government? Is there a difference to it? Or is it something that everybody needs to hear?
Every talk I do is custom tailored to the audience. There's certain elements that are key to all of them, but it's intended to kind of wake people up as to really what the changes are on the horizon, and then give you enough information to make your own decisions. But we're a very backward-looking society. We're backward-looking because, it's just human nature. We've all personally experienced the past. As we look around us, we see evidence of the past all around us. All information we come into contact with is essentially history. So the past is very knowable. But we're going to be living the rest of our lives in the future. So it's almost as if we're walking backwards into the future. So as a futurist, my job is to help turn people around, to give them some perspective on what lies ahead.
Is it positive you know, Hollywood and books, science fiction always has sort of a darker tone, it seems, to the future. What do you as a futurist bring to this?
Yeah, that's one of my pet peeves, is that science fiction was always in the horror section in all the video stores. It's easy to cast the things in the future as very dark and gloomy. And a lot of things in the news come out and they paint a rather gloomy picture of the future. We are going to have problems, but those problems can also be viewed as opportunities. And so I like to look at the positive side of the spectrum. I think it's neither going to be as rosy as some people think nor as gloomy as other people think. But we're going to have lots of challenges ahead, but I think we live in terribly exciting times. There's so much fascinating stuff that's happening all around us that I just wake up every morning and I'm just amazed at all the stuff that I'm able to experience in my life.
Do you look at things over the time you've been doing this where you see something that you at one point predicted and maybe got sideways glances from people, but you see it as being something that now we think of as commonplace or we take for granted?
Yeah, quite a few things. The whole flying drone era, that actually, I was talking about that a long time ago, being able to load up bank cards and that we can put money on them and use them whenever we wanted to. We're moving into eras where we're going to be paying for things with all of our devices. It might be a ring on our finger or a necklace around our neck or even with our shoes. But we'll have, you know, kind of these smart devices that will be able to make those payments. Those are just a few things. The self-driving cars that been talking about that all the way since 2005. So a lot of fascinating stuff that we've been taking a close look at all along, and now it's here.
Right. I'm still waiting for those flying cars that I read in the book in 1965 that I took out of the library at Hilliard Elementary School that had a picture of that. But obviously driving cars, we might as well take it one step at a time, I suppose.
Yeah, I actually think that we never actually get to a flying car era because actually the first flying car was in 1917. That was the Curtiss Air Car. But when somebody's asking about a flying car, they want something that's affordable to the average person, something that you can just get in and drive up into the air and fly around. Quite frankly, I don't want the average person flying around in the sky. That's kind of scary. Right. But what we will do is we will get good at delivering things with drones. And then at a certain point, then we'll start getting good at delivering people with drones. So it'll be far different than the original flying car concept. Going from point A to point B in the air is going to be very doable in the not too distant future.
Well, we shall see. We, and of course, not too distant future, we'll be here in Lorain County as part of the Team Lorain County Groundhog Day Economic Forecast. We look forward to seeing you there. And thanks for a bit of your time this morning, Thomas. Appreciate it.
Sure. Hope you have a great day.
It is Thomas Fry, the senior futurist with the Da Vinci Institute. Also, he's with one of the Google's top futurists. Again, it's Team Lorain County Groundhog Day Economic Forecast at Lorain County Community College. Now, Dawn, is this event open to the general public? Who's invited to this event? How does this take place?
Sure. It is open to the public. So we are taking registrations right now. We have room for about 60 people left. So if you visit our website at teamlorainecounty.com, there will be a link to register for the event. It is open to anyone who's interested in learning about the future and where the potential opportunities are for growth in the future, what our skill sets will need to be, how we need to change our mindset so that our operations are functioning, where this future potential lies.
It's always interesting to see about people who have a prediction. He mentioned about the past, so you look at your books and you look at how trends go, but people in the future have sometimes a different view of that, and it'll be interesting to see coming up on Groundhog Day. Dawn, thanks for sharing a bit of your time coming in this morning, too. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.